Hey everyone, most of you are aware of my passion for debunking anti-vaxxers, a task that has become quite the marathon as of late, given how mainstream and institutionalized this brand of science denial has become. Today's target is a jerk named Aaron Seery. Who is he, and what lies does he tell? Let's get into it. To put it plainly, vaccine hesitancy is the highest it has ever been, along with the number of child deaths from vaccine-preventable diseases, due entirely to the volume of anti-vaccine propaganda that is currently circulating, and the sheer number of frauds that engage in it. Every time one figure gets exposed and disgraced, three more pop up behind them to spew similar narratives. The goal of this propaganda campaign is to villainize vaccines in as seemingly a credible manner as possible. Fake studies, deliberate distortions of real studies, all aimed at eroding the public's trust in legitimate healthcare and disease prevention. The ringleader of this circus sideshow is Bobby Kennedy, who is somehow still the head of HHS. As the Sauron of this tale, he has many underlings he can summon to perpetuate his bullshit narratives, and a new charlatan has recently shoved his face into the public consciousness. Aaron Seery is a litigation attorney who has built a career challenging vaccine policy, often representing anti-vax propaganda organizations like Informed Consent Action Network, or ICAN, founded by grifter Del Bigtree, the jerk-off who gave us the Vaxxed pseudo-documentary. Aaron's firm has made well over $10 million from ICAN since 2020. He's also represented Bobby himself and even played a role in Bobby's presidential campaign. So he's part of the ragtag crew of plucky underdogs standing up to the corrupt vaccine religion. Of course, let's not forget that these frauds make a lot of money by sowing doubt about vaccines that bring so much profit to the evil pharma lizard people. Organizations like ICAN and Bobby's Children's Health Defense, or CHD, rake in millions of dollars in revenue per year, and those numbers have climbed dramatically post-COVID pandemic. Whether donations from rich, gullible idiots or payoffs from alt-health pseudo-wellness corporations, which benefit from public distrust of legitimate healthcare that nudges them towards snake oil, all of this anti-vaccine rhetoric spells big bucks for these guys. They sell books, they charge large speaking fees, it's an entire industry that goes all the way back to Andrew Wakefield and other such shameless figures. These frauds are essentially highly trained influencers who sell their brand, and they do so at the expense of measurable damage to public health. Just look at the numbers for measles cases in the United States. 2025 was by far the worst year of the 21st century, and 2026 has already almost outpaced it just a few months in. Aaron has made so much money representing these organizations that he's begun to speak up himself. Why not get some more free advertising for his services after all? And as a lawyer who gets paid to sound convincing while lying, he's rather cut out for this sort of gig. He testified in a Senate hearing. He's even been on Joe Rogan, to absolutely nobody's surprise. So what's his angle? As you'll see, his narratives lean heavily on litigation to manufacture an argument that sounds scientific and evidence-based. Since he isn't a scientist, he's a lawyer. His arguments center around legal documents, Freedom of Information Act responses, and court filings, as well as using constrictive legal terminology in order to construct a plausible-sounding narrative. The main narrative he peddles is that vaccines are inadequate. Adequately tested. He selectively defines the meaning of words like placebo to mean only salt water, and this disingenuous semantic approach is what gets him theatrical legal wins so that he can say, "Look, I won this case. See, vaccines are bad because I won." The core narratives he presents, like that vaccines are inadequately tested and shielded by design to obscure harm, all boil down to a pattern of selectively defining scientific terms and placing them within a legal framework, not a scientific one. Let's go over his primary talking points from the Senate hearing and his Rogan appearance, and explain why they do not stand up to scrutiny. In doing so, we will illustrate an important difference. Science evaluates the totality of evidence, randomized trials, observational studies, mechanistic data, and decades of real-world outcomes. Legal arguments, by contrast, often hinge on narrow definitions and procedural framing, and when you apply that legal framing to scientific questions, you can easily distort science to fit your narrative. The Senate hearing is very short, so let's check that out first.
Our vaccine practice, I believe, which has over 40 professionals, it doesn't represent pharmaceutical companies, I believe, is the largest vaccine practice in the world. When we litigate vaccine cases, we cannot rely on credentials or fancy titles. We have to prove our claims with high-impact data and sources.
We're nothing like those ivory tower elites with their fancy titles and legitimate scientific knowledge. We're just the ragtag underdogs making millions of dollars on sham lawsuits. Remember lawyer jokes? Remember when the public used to view lawyers as shady grifters rather than white knights fighting oppression? But sure, high-impact data and sources. You're all about the data. We get it. Let's hear about the data.
For example, I saw a slide put up that showed 3 million lives were saved from COVID-19 vaccines. The citation to it was to the Commonwealth Fund. If you follow that, that's not a peer-reviewed study. That's a blog. It's a blog that used a mathematical model to calculate that 3 million lives were saved.
Cool story, bro. Well, I don't know what Commonwealth Fund is, and I don't care. COVID vaccines objectively saved millions of lives, far more than 3 million, in fact, as is clearly outlined in many peer-reviewed studies from various countries around the world, which I've shared in previous videos debunking anti-vax frauds. I'll link to some of those in the description in case Aaron wants to take a look at them instead of pretending that this objective fact can be reduced to a singular blog post.
The underlying data is not typically really carefully evaluated. Claims about what vaccines do when they're positive because our health agencies are responsible for promoting them, easily made. Claims that vaccines cause any harms or injuries often get ignored no matter how good the underlying data.
What a delightful reversal of reality. The underlying data regarding vaccine safety is not carefully evaluated, and sadly, health agencies in America no longer promote vaccines since they've been captured by Bobby Kennedy. Fortunately, other countries exist that aren't engaging in state-sanctioned science denial. Just like we saw with Steve Kirsch and Pierre Corey in the live debate I had with Dan Wilson, this narrative hinges on people believing that the global scientific community can be reduced to what CDC says. And if you've watched my other content covering this propaganda, you know that 100% of the outrageous claims anti-vaxxers make regarding harm and injury is based on a shameless distortion of self-reporting databases like VAERS. Nothing to see here.
I also heard that deaths sharply declined in 2021. Well, when you look at all-cause mortality in the United States, deaths in 2021 went up compared to 2020, and presumably most of the most frail, the weak among us died in 2020 from COVID. We should have had a reduction in all-cause mortality in the United States. We did not.
Yeah, the pandemic was still raging in 2021, dumbass. He's just baselessly asserting that all the old, weak people died in 2020, so everything should have been hunky-dory after that. Also, 2020 wasn't a full year of pandemic. People started dying in large numbers in April. Tack on to that a severely strained healthcare system in 2021 after a full year of dealing with COVID patients, plus higher mortality rates from accidents and drug overdoses, and there you go. More people died. Shocking.
For every product on the market, you can sue the manufacturer for harm, for design defect claims, meaning the claim that the product could have made safer. I mean, literally, look around this room, planes, cars, pharmaceutical drugs, everyone. There's only one product in America. You cannot sue the manufacturer for design defect claim to claim that it could have been made safer, and that are vaccines. I heard, injections, vaccines. My definition of vaccine is any product for which the government needs to give it immunity from harms. To me, that's what a vaccine is, because some prevent infection, some don't. That's what a vaccine is, meaning it can't survive without that immunity, apparently. Why did vaccines get this immunity, which was provided in 1986 under the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act? Because leading up to 86, there were only three routine childhood vaccines, MMR, OPV, and DTP, and they were causing so much harm and causing so much liability that all the manufacturers were going out of business to stop making them. And Congress, instead of forcing those manufacturers to do what every other product manufacturer needs to do in that situation, which is what? Make a better, safer product. Instead said, you know what? We're just going to give you immunity. We're going to make it so nobody can sue you for those harms. And you can keep selling your product to the American public, no matter how many children it kills.
No matter how many children it kills. How many children did they kill, Aaron? I can find 5 from the polio vaccine, not finding anything else. How many lives did they save? Over 150 million in the past 5 decades? Seems a bit one-sided, don't you think? Of course, all of this is not the point. The point is this story about the evil companies who can't get sued when they sell their poison. Sounds convincing, huh? Well, it's bullshit. And as a lawyer, Aaron should know that the Supreme Court settled this matter in Brusewitz v. Wyeth 2011. This act he's talking about does preempt design defect claims for covered childhood vaccines. That's the unavoidable side effects clause. Courts have recognized that vaccines have very rare inherent risks, even when properly made, which will appear if the sample size is hundreds of millions of people. Congress included this clause because lawsuits in the 1980s were bankrupting manufacturers of DTP and other important vaccines, thereby threatening supply. But it is not blanket immunity. Manufacturing defects and failure to warn claims are still allowed. Vaccine manufacturers can be and are regularly sued. He's just lying. But he's also leaving out the most important part of the story. The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, or VICP, is a no-fault system that has paid out roughly $5 billion for injuries since 1986. This is funded by a small excise tax on each dose. This system is much better for the average person seeking compensation for legitimate injury, which is extremely rare but does happen. Civil litigation is far more expensive and time-consuming to the point that it is totally inaccessible to most people. VICP claims can be filed for $405, and they even offer to waive the fee for those who can't pay. Petitioners can even reject a VICP award and sue in civil court if they feel they have a case. Manufacturers remain fully liable for fraud, contamination, or inadequate warnings. The economic incentive to improve safety never disappeared. It simply shifted to regulatory oversight. The FDA requires ongoing pharmacovigilance, lot release testing, and post-marketing studies. Companies still face massive financial and reputational risk from safety signals. It is objectively the case that vaccines are tested supremely rigorously for safety. The risk-benefit ratio is overwhelmingly on the side of mass administering vaccines, and anyone who says otherwise has no fucking idea what they're talking about. Are we done here?
And I sell you this not to take issue with childhood vaccines, but to explain to you the regulatory framework in which vaccines have developed over the last 40 years. We have now gone from 3 injections in the first year of life under the CDC schedule in 86 to 29 injections, including in utero, if a child follows the CDC schedule today. Every one of those vaccines, save one, was developed by a pharmaceutical company knowing they would not be responsible for the injuries that are caused by those products.
Actually, Aaron, you are specifically taking issues with childhood vaccines and brainwashing the masses into rejecting them, which results in children dying. You kill children. While pretending that having more vaccines to prevent more diseases is somehow a bad thing. But all of this rhetoric serves the purpose of queuing up his primary talking point.
So when you have drug trials where pharmaceutical companies, they care about losing money, they don't want to lose money on their drugs. They often do multi-year placebo-controlled trials before they get on the market because they don't want to end up upside down. They're there to make money. But with vaccine products, because they don't have that financial incentive, they have the disincentive. Almost every childhood vaccine in this country is licensed based on clinical trials with no placebo control, save for COVID-19 vaccine, often days or weeks, up to maybe 6 months of safety review after injection, and are often extremely underpowered.
Holy smokes, no placebo-controlled trials. When they make the drugs, they use placebo, but when they make the vaccines, they don't, so they can murder people with untested vaccines and nothing happens to them. We've debunked this talking point before, but in case you missed it, let's unpack this load of horse shit. First of all, the word placebo refers to an inactive substance that is used in clinical trials to determine efficacy. When testing palliative medicine, it's important because the placebo effect exists. Patients can feel better just because they think they're supposed to. Pain and other symptoms can be reduced due to a placebo effect, and this must be taken into account when determining the efficacy of a drug which has the purpose of reducing pain or those other symptoms. Vaccines aren't like that. Vaccines aren't a treatment for anything. They're preventive, not therapeutic. They're given to millions of healthy people to prevent infection by specific pathogens, not as treatment. Mechanistically speaking, the purpose of a vaccine is to introduce an antigen that will result in antibody production. You can't will antibody production with your mind. The placebo effect has no bearing on vaccines, so comparing vaccine clinical trials to drug studies is misleading. Nevertheless, every ingredient in a vaccine should be tested extensively for safety. And they are, without exception. Aaron pretends that components of vaccines must be tested specifically against saline, or salt water, meaning nothing, basically. This is ridiculous. He wants you to believe that it's exclusively vaccine versus saline to assess safety. Otherwise, whoopsie, no safety studies were done. Everyone could have died from the vaccine. This is bullshit. Every component is tested rigorously, whether we are talking about the antigen itself, preservatives, adjuvants, any of it. They test adjuvants without the antigen present. They test components against other similar components that have already had their safety demonstrated. And, get this, they also frequently do indeed test against a control of saline. So beyond the claim being misleading, it's just flat out wrong. Here are a bunch of vaccines that have been tested against an inert saline placebo. It happens all the time. So when Aaron says this, or Bobby, or whichever other fraud is parroting this talking point, it's nothing more than a cocktail of lies and deception. Continuing, once a vaccine is proven effective against a serious disease, it becomes unethical to withhold it from children for an extended period as part of a placebo arm of a study. You can't tell a parent that you're immunizing their child against a particular disease and then not do it. That would be insane. That's why long-term placebo-controlled trials stop once efficacy is established. After that point, safety is monitored through massive post-licensure systems like VAERS, Vaccine Safety Data Link, or VSD, PRISM, and BEST. These have tracked tens of millions of doses, and this is how the extremely rare adverse events from COVID vaccines were spotted. This includes myocarditis in young men from the mRNA vaccines. It also includes thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome from the non-mRNA-based adenoviral vaccines like Janssen, which caused 10 deaths in the United States before being swiftly pulled from the market. Both of these were so rare that phase 3 clinical trials just don't have the statistical power to detect them. You need millions of recipients for them to show up. And again, saline was used as the placebo during COVID vaccine trials. These events are so rare that they were undetectable in trials containing 40,000 people. So for anyone to reference them as a criticism of the way vaccines are tested just doesn't understand how any of this actually works. I talked about all of this in extreme detail in my videos on Steve Kirsch, Pierre Corey, and Peter McCullough, and I'll again reference Jeffrey Morris's paper on post-licensure surveillance systems. To speak more broadly, the National Academy of Medicine and FDA have reviewed the entire childhood schedule repeatedly. There is no evidence whatsoever of systematic safety failures from inadequate pre-licensure testing. The only corruption we are seeing is under Bobby's HHS and his meddling with the ACIP vaccine panel and their recommended vaccines, now attempting to rescind recommendation for extremely important vaccines like hepatitis A and B, influenza, RSV, and meningitis. That's the corruption, not anything to do with the FDA approval of vaccines that have demonstrated safety and efficacy. So as you can see, Aaron's rhetoric is nothing but shady lawyer speak. They didn't test against saline, so we don't know it's safe. In reality, everything is tested against an appropriate placebo, which often even includes saline. Got anything else, Aaron?
Based on our over 2,004 requests to federal health agencies over the years on behalf of our client, I could tell you, our federal health agencies act like partners with pharma. They encourage their inroads. They act basically in the shoes of pharma, because when the immunity to liability was given to the pharmaceutical companies, Congress recognized that apparently and transferred all the safety functions to HHS and the mandate for safer child vaccines. And by doing so, it's made them hopelessly conflicted.
Everyone is evil but me. Stupid pharma from the private sector is evil. Stupid FDA from the government is evil. Only us brave anti-vaccine warriors are fighting for the truth. Fucking ridiculous. There is no conflict. Forget that the entire story is rendered impotent by the fact that other countries exist with their own regulatory bodies as well as independent research groups. But let's stick to his dishonest framing, which pretends that only the United States exists. The purpose of the FDA is to regulate food and drugs. Around 1 in 10 drugs that enter clinical trials receive FDA approval and make it to market. If the FDA and pharma were one in the same and the whole system was hopelessly broken and all the evil poison drugs were out there poisoning everybody, what would that number be? 100 fucking percent. This dual narrative seeks to villainize drug manufacturers so that they have an enemy to fight, as well as the FDA, so that Bobby has an excuse to dismantle the entire institution from the inside under the guise of rooting out corruption, when he's actually just diminishing its ability to perform crucial regulatory functions. The thing about frauds like Bobby and Aaron is that they love to pretend they're so methodical in their anti-vaccine assertions, that they are identifying specific vaccines and specific components that do specific harm, but they're just not. It's blanket science denial aimed at literally all vaccines. Want proof? Can you think of a vaccine that has saved more lives and demonstrated its safety and efficacy more thoroughly than the polio vaccine?
A Kennedy lawyer, Aaron Seary, who's been helping him pick federal health officials for the incoming administration, asked the FDA to revoke the approval of the polio vaccine. That was 2 years ago, according to the New York Times. Now, McConnell, who is a polio survivor, said the vaccine has saved millions of lives and, quote, efforts to undermine public confidence in proven cures are not just uninformed, they're dangerous.
Do you know how big of a piece of shit you have to be to make Mitch McConnell the voice of reason? These jerks are attacking the polio vaccine. The fucking polio vaccine. What better demonstration do you need that they are simply waging war on vaccines in general? All of these frauds eventually reveal their cards in this manner. This is just like when I pressed Pierre Corey in our debate.
It's funny to me because it's always the same story, right? I was pro-vax and my kids are vaccinated. It's just the COVID vax. But if it was just the COVID vaccine, why are we here talking about the entire vaccine schedule, right? Why are we talking about vaccines and autism? Is there a vaccine in the schedule that you think is good? How is it that we're always fixating on the COVID vaccine and then all of these people here that are supporting you are just magically against all vaccines, right? If you're not anti-vaxxers, how did that happen exactly?
I'll help you out. It's all of them. Keep going.
Huh?
Okay. It's all of them. Keep going.
Okay, so he admits it.
Okay.
So you are just against all vaccines.
All vaccines. Every vaccine is bad. It doesn't matter what's in them. They could be a live attenuated pathogen, an inactivated pathogen, an isolated antigen subunit, mRNA-based. They could have preservatives or not, adjuvants or not. Doesn't matter. All vaccines are bad because bad, bad, yucky vaccines. It makes zero fucking sense. For something to be harmful, there has to be an active ingredient and a specific mechanism by which it does harm. They don't have one and they never will, which is how Dan and I got Pierre so riled up in the debate by asking him repeatedly to make a single concrete, coherent claim about vaccine ingredients. Anyway, getting back to Aaron, let's move on to the Rogan episode.
Until this COVID epidemic, I would have never questioned it. I mocked anti-vaxxers. I was like, these people are silly. Don't they know all the good things that vaccines have done? And the blatant propaganda that we were force-fed, like one of those ducks are trying to make foie gras with, It just made me stop and pause and go, is the whole thing like this?
Yes, Joe, you respected vaccines, and then an avalanche of anti-vax propaganda was stuffed down your throat, you fell for all of it, and now you're the primary platform in the entire world for enabling the continued transmission of such propaganda to the general public. Great work.
Every other product that exists, I can sue the company. I can hold them accountable. If that product injures or kills you or your child on the basis that product could have been safer. The only product, and I mean this literally, the only product in America where you cannot sue to say, had you made that product safer, my child wouldn't be dead.
Vaccines killed my child and I can't even sue anybody. We already debunked this classic talking point, so we don't need to talk about it here. Rest assured, Joe bought it hook, line, and sinker.
But in the instance of vaccines leading up to 1986, there were only three routine vaccines. That's it. That's all there was. A child following the CDC schedule in 1986 got three injections on or before their first birthday. Okay? Those three products were causing so much harm and injury
that every manufacturer of them went out of business, and that was the MMR vaccine, the DTP, and the OPV vaccine.
No, they were not causing so much harm. Claims regarding neurological damage have been debunked. Claims connecting the vaccines to sudden infant death syndrome have been debunked. He's just fear-mongering. Three vaccines were so super bad, so now that they get a bazillion, it's even worse. The surge in lawsuits, many or most baseless, was destroying the vaccine industry, and in countries where DTP use plummeted due to safety fears, like the UK and Japan, major pertussis outbreaks occurred, which led to dozens of infant deaths. All of this chaos is what brought about the very sensible act he's vilifying, and also the compensation program he never mentions. Wonder why?
Instead of forcing them to do what every other industry has to do, like I said, make better building materials without asbestos, make better cars that don't explode, go down the chain of different products out there, Congress did something completely unique. It said, you know what? We're just going to give you immunity.
Vaccines that work remarkably well and save countless lives, yet also produce very rare adverse events given the sample pool of millions of people, are not at all like asbestos or cars that explode. This is a fucking insane comparison.
So going back to how we make products safer in America or anywhere, okay, it's not the government. Governments don't make products safer. Look at extremely authoritarian regimes where there was very little free market, like the former USSR. You think products were safe? No. What makes products safe? It's the economic self-interest of the company.
Yeah, the stupid government can't make anything safe, so let's just abolish the FDA completely and let the unregulated private sector go hog wild. Nobody ever died from drugs before the FDA existed, right? What an asshole.
For most childhood vaccines, instead of years, it's often days or weeks of safety review in the clinical trial relied upon to license them. Not a single, and I know that folks can test this all the time, but it's in the FDA literature. Not a single routine injected childhood vaccine was licensed based on a placebo-controlled trial, save for the COVID vaccine, by the way, for children. It's the only one.
Yeah, people contest this all the time because you're lying. You lied in your Senate hearing and you're lying to Joe. Vaccines are rigorously tested for safety through three phases of clinical trials. Many are tested against a saline placebo, and that isn't necessary in the first place to establish the safety of the vaccine. He is skirting past very obvious scientific principles that he doesn't understand, as well as ethical concerns regarding not vaccinating vulnerable people. No need to explain all this a second time.
You're talking about these companies that have been fined billions of dollars in criminal fines for fraud, for all kinds of shit. These are the people. And the idea that they wouldn't lie about vaccines, like this is the one thing they're going to tell you the truth. Ruthless capitalists attached to money and drugs. This is the one thing they're going to 100% tell you the truth about. That seems kind of kooky. That's a hard sell for anybody who's not ideologically captured. That's a hard sell.
Evil company lie and sell the poison. It's a very easy narrative to sell, but it's just infantile. Vaccine clinical trials are not run in some secret pharma bunker where nobody can watch them do their evil pharma things. They are designed and conducted by academic research institutions and government agencies like the NIH. They oversee studies to ensure that they go according to protocol. The FDA evaluates all the data before approving the vaccine, and CDC monitors everything closely post-licensure. All people like Joe can do is go, one time a pharma company did this bad thing, therefore everything all of pharma does ever must be evil poison money scheme. It's such toddler mentality. In reality, it's possible to identify isolated occurrences of oversight or malfeasance, which are present in any large industry, and honestly are often mischaracterized or exaggerated in the case of pharma, and understand that even when they are valid concerns or examples of corruption, they are simply an indictment of those particular people, not the entire industry. I don't know how we're going to rehabilitate the public from a knee-jerk acceptance of any narrative that cartoonishly villainizes the pharmaceutical industry, but we need to figure that out post-haste.
Go back to vaccines. Think about how incredibly harmful and how much harm these vaccines must do that they cannot survive on the market without this immunity from 1986. Think about that.
If you were going to steal me on the argument against that,
yes,
wouldn't you say, look, these are we can't have frivolous lawsuits against these people that are providing us the most important medication that's available to humans. The whole reason why we survive smallpox and polio and all these different things, it's these vaccines. Without them, we'd all be dead. This episode is brought to you by Montana Knife Company. I have used their knives for years. They are absolutely fantastic.
Joe says a smart thing, which should end this entire conversation, and then cuts straight to an ad. How fitting.
Let's just assume that the last part of what you said is true, which we know it's not. But with that said,
Steel manning it.
Easy response. Okay?
Okay.
drugs that are for very small populations, meaning not a lot of market, not a lot of sales, that cause incredible side effects, can survive on the market profitably. Think about that for a second.
The last part isn't true. Vaccines haven't saved countless lives. Have you ever had smallpox or polio, Aaron? No? Then what the fuck are you smirking about? While Joe was cosplaying as a smart person, he said that we can't have frivolous lawsuits from 1 in a million people who take an extremely safe vaccine, derailing all vaccine production. Stop rambling and get to the point, champ.
And that is how companies typically limit their liability with medical products, with drug products, okay? Why can't they do that with vaccines? Why can't they just make them as safe as technologically feasible, can't sue them for design defect, and disclose all the actual risks in the package insert?
They do that. They are made to be as safe as possible. That's why adverse events are exceedingly rare. And these adverse events are not a secret. Any health professional can tell you all about them. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's been 40 years for some of these vaccines. Hep B vaccine, for example, licensed in 86 and 89, the two standalones. It's been 40 years. You're telling me they still don't know it's safe enough to lift that immunity? You're giving it to millions of kids a year. You're making billions of dollars on the sales of this product, and you still don't know it's safe enough to lift that immunity, please.
The immunity isn't there because vaccines aren't safe, you fucking tool. They are extremely safe, but when you give them to millions of people, one or two extreme adverse events might happen, which could yield enormous lawsuits that would bankrupt any company and result in vaccines not getting produced anymore. That's the fucking point of the act and the accompanying compensation program. The act does not mean that vaccines aren't safe. The Hep B vaccine is safe.
For example, measles, the dreaded measles that they say everybody will die from. No measles vaccine, we're all going to die, right? That is the impression they give you. You have any idea how many people died of measles in the years before there was a measles vaccine in the United States?
About
400 a year.
That's it.
400 a year died in the United States at a time when everybody had measles, which comes out to about 1 in 450,000 Americans dying of measles. That's in the CDC. Anybody listening to this who's like, come on, that's not true. CDC mortality documents on the CDC website, cited in my book, 400.
Okay, it's time for a bunch of bullshit about measles. Aaron is citing 400 deaths per year pre-vaccine and pretending that's the whole story. He's ignoring incidents. Prior to protection via vaccination, we saw around 48,000 hospitalizations annually, about 1,000 cases of encephalitis, which means brain swelling, permanent neurological damage, deafness, and immune amnesia in survivors. The vaccine was not just about reducing deaths. It's about preventing infection and transmission in general. Through vaccination, measles cases were reduced by more than 99%, completely eliminating endemic transmission. Additionally, measles vaccination prevented an estimated 23.2 million deaths between 2000 and 2018, once we remember that countries other than the United States also exist. This is just more shady lawyer speak from Aaron, minimizing the dangers of something like measles, which is now returning and killing children because of the propaganda assholes like him are spreading.
My recollection of it was the episode of the Brady Bunch. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Remember that episode?
Yeah, they were laughing about it.
Let's watch this. Find that clip and let's watch it because it's so indicative of what measles was actually like in the culture of the people that would get it all the time versus this boogeyman of today. I mean, it is, it's so stark. It's so, I mean, it's like, imagine the kid coming home. Hey, mom, I've got AIDS. I got to stay home from school. It's not that, right?
It's the way that most folks who've had chickenpox think of chickenpox.
Right. But we're told that it's killing people. We're told that it's killing people now. We're told that it's killing. It's always kids. We're told it's killing kids now.
Yeah.
We don't need to watch a Brady Bunch clip. It is killing kids now. Less than 400 per year, of course, but I'm sure Bobby and friends can bring us back to pre-vaccine numbers with a little elbow grease. That a fictitious TV family wasn't panicking about a measles case doesn't negate thousands of serious complications that happened every year. Post-vaccine data from MMWR and CDC surveillance show the near elimination of those burdens until importations from unvaccinated communities like the Amish.
Between 1900 and the late 1950s, early 1960s, the mortality from measles declined in the United States by over 98%. You know what didn't cause that?
Vaccines.
Yeah, because it didn't exist.
Sanitation and nutrition explain a large part of the mortality drop, but only the vaccine explains the collapse in actual disease incidence. Again, he's fixating on deaths as though that's the only metric that matters, beyond the callous dismissal of 400 deaths per year that are easily avoided by an extremely safe and effective vaccine. This is the point he is dishonestly skirting around. Sanitation did reduce how deadly the measles virus was. Only vaccines reduced how common infection was. Anyway, this is a very long episode, and by that I mean it's an average Joe Rogan episode, so let's just jump ahead and make a few more important points.
In the normal course, okay, in the normal course, you've got a product. You've gone from three of them in 1986 by the first year. You're up to 29 beginning of 2025. Now you're at 19 still. During that period, you've gone from under 10% of kids had a chronic health issue in the early 1980s, according to the data. You now have over 40%. Some data show over 50% of kids having chronic health issues, often multiple times the rate.
Here we go. Another round of vaccines cause all these chronic diseases bullshit. We dealt with this in the RFK video, but let's talk about it again. First of all, it continually blows my mind how assholes like this cite more vaccines as being a bad thing. It's good that we now have hepatitis vaccines and rotavirus and varicella and others. It's good to immunize against more things beyond just DTP and polio. Second of all, more vaccines and more chronic disease, therefore vaccines cause chronic disease, is such a mind-numbingly stupid argument that I can't believe people fall for it. We've gone over this before about how ice cream sales don't cause shark attacks just because they both rise in the summer. Say it with me, correlation doesn't equal causation. He's also omitting very obvious explanations surrounding better diagnosis and other such factors. But don't worry, he's got a story about Amish people that we totally haven't heard before from other assholes.
Amongst those children, you would expect to have, because like 1 in 10 kids approximately have asthma, you would expect to have like 9 cases of asthma. You'd expect to have 6 cases of this, 5 cases. They have none, 0 of the chronic health conditions plaguing kids in America today. And the approximately 10 or so studies that have been done, and I'm going to bring this back to my legal point, the approximately 10 or so studies that have done that compare kids with no exposure, meaning zero vaccines, to kids that have had one or more vaccines, show the same outcome. Kids with zero vaccines, almost none of the chronic health issues that face kids today in America. Kids with one or more vaccines, multiple rates of the chronic health issues.
Amish people don't get vaccinated and they have zero health issues, while kids who get vaccines are all practically about to die, so vaccines are poison. Absolutely ridiculous. First of all, Amish people have chronic disease. They're not fucking cyborgs. Could they have comparatively lower rates of chronic disease? Sure. And on average, they do seem to show lower rates of things like cardiovascular issues and diabetes. Is it because they don't get vaccinated? No. There are lifestyle differences. They do tons of manual labor. Their diets are different. They differ in genetics, screen time, diagnostic practices, almost everything. Two groups have to be comparable if you want to isolate a variable like the effects of vaccines. There are plenty of studies that document autism, cancer, diabetes, and every other chronic disease in Amish communities. So the idea that they don't exist is idiotic. But where rates differ, you have to consider the countless confounders that exist. Aaron is really showing how much he isn't a scientist. But beyond this, he's knowingly referencing shitty data. These vax versus unvax studies he cites are retrospective, convenience sampled, self-reported, or poorly adjusted for socioeconomic status, breastfeeding, prenatal care, and selection bias. Every time they pretend to be going by the science, this is what they're actually doing. In reality, all large, well-controlled reviews, like IOM or Cochrane-style analyses, do not support a causal link between the vaccine schedule and rising chronic illness. Overall, U.S. chronic disease trends have multiple drivers, which include, most critically, better diagnosis, especially when it comes to autism, but even with every other such condition, when better access to diagnostic evaluation is provided, more people are diagnosed with things. This is obvious. Other factors can also contribute, like the global obesity epidemic, environmental changes, genetics, and crucially, better survival of children that might otherwise be dead. Kids that don't die from pathogens because vaccines exist, so instead they are alive with a chronic condition. We beat this horse to death in the RFK video, but it bears repeating that while the rise in chronic conditions is real and deserves study, attributing it primarily to vaccines is nothing but a malicious propaganda campaign that dishonestly ignores confounders and the absence of any kind of signal in rigorous pharmacovigilance data.
The follow-up question would be, are they even being diagnosed? So if they're getting Amish care and Amish teachers and Amish – is it possible that there are some kids that are just behaving odd that would be diagnosed? Like, this is the criticism.
Yes.
The people say, like, this is when you hear some mainstream suit talking on television, well, there was always someone odd when we were kids. You know, there's no, they just, the diagnosis is different today. That's why it's 1 in 12 boys in California. They're overdiagnosing. And I'm like, no.
Leave it to Joe to ensure that the only factual information in a 3-hour podcast is spoken in a sarcastic tone and brushed aside with zero basis. How is this so hard to understand for people? Only severely autistic kids were diagnosed in the past. Now autism is recognized as a spectrum disorder, and children with level 1 and 2 autism are diagnosed that would not have been even 20 years ago. So many adults are autistic that were not diagnosed as autistic. Get over it.
The notion that autism is just better diagnosed, and that's the only reason for the increase, is I don't know a better word for it other than say nonsense. Okay, even if you look at the, because they've changed the DSM-5, which is what we're up to, the diagnostic manual, that is the psychiatric manual that has the criteria for diagnosing autism. It has changed over time, but when you even just look at severe autism, just severe autism, which California has very good data on. From the 70s and onward into today, it's exploded, okay? So the notion that we just have better diagnoses is not a serious point.
He's literally citing the changes to the DSM-5 that completely altered the way autism is diagnosed and then just scoffing to himself. Everyone who was said to have Asperger's became autistic overnight due to the change in definition. ASD, Autism Spectrum Disorder. Cases of severe autism have also risen a bit, but they haven't exploded like he claims. It can't be more transparent that he is operating in bad faith.
And I'll tell you this about the Amish community. They don't have phones. Smartphones. They have old school phones, some of them. They don't have TVs. When they're with their kids, they're with their kids. When they're there at the end of the day, they really are so much more in tune. When I spend time with them and when I went up there, I mean, it's incredible. You know, we have lost, it's a hard thing to experience. Maybe for somebody who keeps like, maybe the closest thing I think of is like those who observe the Sabbath biblically, you know, so they're just totally right. Locked in. They lock in with their families for a day or things like that. And so they're very in tune with their kids. They know if those kids have health issues.
Wow, the Amish are so super amazing and better than everyone else because no screens and they sit with their kids. Then go be Amish, asshole. No, Amish people aren't magic wizards that are able to diagnose medical issues in their children without any relevant training or equipment. You're an idiot.
What you find in the peer-reviewed literature is that 40 to 70% of parents who have a child with autism report that they believe vaccines cause their child's autism. Okay? 47%. That's after how much billions of dollars to try to tell them and gaslight them and convince them that it's not that vaccines don't cause autism.
Yes, no matter how much parents are told that vaccines don't cause autism, since they fucking don't, they still believe it because of worthless propaganda peddling pieces of shit like you who fill their heads with lies. Epic cell phone, asshole.
And so on behalf of ICANN, which is the Informed Consent Network, a nonprofit that our law firm represents, we sent a Freedom of Information Act request, FOIA request, to the CDC. And we said, hey, your website says vaccines do not cause autism. Great. Please give us the studies that show that Hep B vaccine, given three times in the first 6 months of life, do not cause autism. Please give us the studies that show that DTaP vaccine, given three times in the first 6 months of life, do not cause autism. Same thing for IPV vaccine, for PCV vaccine, and for HIV vaccine. Okay, each one of those vaccines is given three times each in the first 6 months of life. 15 injections. Okay? Okay. You say vaccines don't cause autism. These parents are saying these vaccines cause their child's autism. Provide us the studies.
Holy shit, 15 shots. Dumb parents insist that their kids caught the autism from vaccines because of whichever other Joe Rogan guest they fell for. So give me the studies that prove these vaccines don't cause autism. And make sure to prove it in the very rigid and narrow manner stipulated by this FOIA request that is not reflective of actual scientific evidence in the slightest and is specifically engineered to result in failure. More shifty lawyer tactics. This is about manipulating burden of proof, not scientific evidence.
They never gave us the studies. I sued them in federal court. I didn't go to Texas. I sued them in Southern District of New York. Okay, not the friendliest territory to bring that kind of lawsuit. Okay. Days before the hearing, I get a list of 20 studies finally, from the DOJ, because they represent the CDC. Okay. Maybe they think I don't read. So I looked at the 20 studies. I read them. 19 of them have nothing to do with the vaccines given in the first 6 months of life. They were all either MMR studies or studies of an ingredient that wasn't in those vaccines. One of them was an Institute of Medicine review from 2012 that canvassed all the literature on whether DTaP vaccine does or does not cause autism, because the CDC and HRSA, which is the agency in HHS that fights vaccine injury claims, asked the IOM to look at whether DTaP causes autism because it remained one of the most commonly claimed injuries still, according to them, okay? And the Institute of Medicine came back and said, we could only find one study on DTaP and autism, and in fact, it showed an association between DTaP vaccine and autism, but the IOM threw it out because it said there's no unvaccinated control in it. So they threw out the studies based on VAERS data, if you know what that is.
Well, that's a load of bullshit. He's lying about not being provided studies, and he's lying about being able to read the studies. Plenty of such studies exist. These are large epidemiological studies involving millions of children that have repeatedly found no causal link. Since I've debunked this point so many times, I've shown papers like these so many times, and here they are again. I'll link to them in the description. Every fucking year, another one of these pops up, because no matter how many times it's demonstrated that there is no causal link between vaccines and autism, more propaganda is shoved out to deny this obvious fact and continue to demand more evidence. How many more years of this until the goalposts finally stop moving and frauds like Aaron will accept that it has been proven by any reasonable expectation? Never, because proof can mean whatever they want it to mean in whichever latest document they draft up, and they will evade the legitimate scientific conclusions every time. Then, to push the opposite of reality, they will cherry-pick a study and distort its conclusions. Take the one he's referencing about Hep B from 2010 by Gallagher and Goodman. This study is suspiciously small and doesn't specify what confounding factors were controlled. In the autism group, 9 of 31, or 29%, were given the Hep B vaccine, compared to 1,258 of 7,455, or 17%, in the non-autism group. This does not demonstrate causation. The study raised red flags, and professionals have expressed concerns on PubPeer. This post outlines the weak study design, small sample size, selective data use and temporal inconsistencies, correlation misinterpretation, lack of confounder adjustment, and more. This is all that anti-vax frauds can do. Point at one small study with methodological flaws and pretend that it outweighs dozens of much larger, much more robust, well-controlled studies. The literature overwhelmingly supports supports the notion that vaccines do not cause autism. Anyone who claims otherwise is being disingenuous and deceptive. This is why Aaron relies on his lawyer speak. All he proved is that CDC could not satisfy a specific legal request for proof of negative. It does not overturn the mountain of positive evidence from cohort and case control studies. It's shifty lawyers doing shifty lawyer stuff. Nothing more.
When this narrative, which you hear all the time on these panels, on these news shows, vaccines do not cause autism, that has been thoroughly debunked. Where's that come from?
That comes from a frustrated and exhausted scientific community that knows the truth, has spent decades relentlessly combating the hydra that is vaccine-related disinformation from frauds like Aaron, Bobby, and a thousand others, and is tired of trying to get it through your thick skull, Joe. That's where it comes from.
When I came into this, had you told me, yeah, they don't have any studies that show vaccines don't cause autism in the first 6 months, I'd be like, you're crazy. Get out of here. They tell you it's thoroughly debunked, thoroughly studied, the most studied thing ever. They have a mountain of science. Joe, there's a mountain of studies. You know how big it is? It's so big. And you know what's on top of that mountain? Another mountain of studies. You know how? Another mountain. There's so many studies. They're drowning in studies that vaccines don't cause autism. But then when you demand it, not the bull crap that they say on TV, but you actually demand it, that's the result.
But he sure does sound convincing when he gets all riled up like that, huh? Never underestimate the power of pageantry and a good story. Anyway, we can wrap things up here. To summarize, Aaron Seery is a skilled litigator who knows how to highlight legal technicalities, court stipulations, and historical mortality declines. Basically, he knows how to selectively present and distort facts to win court cases. But when these points are presented with full context, they just do not hold up as evidence that vaccines are uniquely unsafe or that the system lacks accountability. Vaccines are one of the most thoroughly studied medical interventions in human history. Decades upon decades of rigorously performed research all over the world demonstrate their safety. They aren't perfect, nothing is, but the pre- and post-licensure testing, the compensation program, and a mountain of population-level data demonstrate that they prevent far more harm than they cause by several orders of magnitude. The childhood vaccine schedule exists because diseases like measles, pertussis, pneumococcal infection, and many others used to kill or disable thousands of American children every year. Our ability to prevent infection by deadly pathogens is the single most astounding achievement in human history. So when the public starts rejecting them in huge numbers, what can we say about that?
What an amazing job of gaslighting and propaganda they've done.
Well said, Joe. Well said. If only you could genuinely experience this epiphany yourself and stop inviting all the gaslighters and propaganda peddlers on your fucking show, we could start getting back to preventing more deaths. To anyone who could possibly still be on the fence, I don't know how to reach you because you didn't watch this video. But if you're out there and can hear me somehow, if you're still concerned about vaccine safety, consult your pediatrician, not your favorite podcast bro. So that's it for Aaron Seery, shameless anti-vax stooge number 473. They just keep cranking these jerks out, and I'll keep doing my best to expose each and every last one of them. My job is far from over, with so many dozens of these figures left to go, so it's back to work for me. I'll see you next time.